Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films from all genres and bring you celebrity interviews every single week.
Very good, Lewis. Short but pointless.
Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds.
You want me to yank you out of that seat and shake it out of you?
I don't have it. Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
And now, here is your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD. Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I am your host, Kyle Autry, joined, as always, by my co-host, JD. JD, we are counting down the days to Halloween, and I'm excited to talk some Friday the 13th. How the hell are you?
Dude, I am freaking spooky fantastic. How the heck are you?
I'm good, man. By the time this episode drops here, in a few days, it'll be Wednesday. We're halfway through the week. We're about 2 or 3 days from me and you getting to hang out for the first time in about a year. So I'm looking forward to it. I can't promise a drunken podcast, but it is on my list.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the audience is in for a real treat if we click the record button.
As we should, because drunken will happen if we remember to click record. That's a different story.
Hey, JD, what's your go-to drink again? Remind me.
Lately, it's been vodka tonic.
Vodka and tonic, okay.
I'll take a step back. It's vodka tonic some nights. Other nights, it's a whiskey or bourbon on the rocks. It depends on how I'm feeling. Like, I can bounce either direction between clear or brown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling, when you're in town, I might be doing some brown. That sounds so ridiculously not kosher.
Doing some brown. Yeah, I'm more of a beer guy, so I don't know. I was kind of telling my friend, you know, with you, I always feel like you're a bit of a wild card when it comes to this type of thing. Like, I don't know if you're going to drink real heavy and be rowdy guy, or if you're going to drink light and be Mr. Huggy guy.
Dude, that's like, that's the new nicest thing you've ever said about me. I love that. Aww.
Yeah.
We're bonding.
Also, the fact that you're the wild card makes me a little bit happy. Hey, by the way, I know it's not a costume party, but I did buy a Wayne's World hat, and I'm planning on wearing a black shirt and jeans. Just FYI.
I have not shaved in like 3 weeks, so I will be beard man.
Okay.
Beard man. I know you haven't shaved in like 6 years, but...
And you have a white shirt on that just says beard man. That's my outfit. Yeah, that's it.
I went to a costume party one time, and a guy was wearing a t-shirt, and it was a white t-shirt, and on it said Floyd in pink.
Okay.
Pink Floyd.
I love
Simple,
that.
Yet effective.
Very effective. You know what else would be really effective? If our audience gave us a 5-star review. So if you haven't done that yet, go on over to Apple Podcast and drop that review. And then you can subscribe to us while you're there. Also, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, IGTV, YouTube. Those are the best ways to help support the show. JD, let's dive into the reason we're here. What are your first memories of watching Friday the 13th, Part 2?
Audience, I will not lie to you. I saw the original Friday the 13th when I was young, and it wasn't until probably college time, post-Scream generation, that I saw the sequel to the original, and that I fully understood that Checkmate reference in Scream.
Oh, okay. I was trying to kind of rack my brain on, like, if I've seen this movie. I'm not positive I've actually watched this movie.
Ever.
I don't think that at any point I ever went, like, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think I went from 1 and straight to 4. And then kind of mixed in some of the other ones along the way. Like Freddy vs. Jason and...
Ooh.
Ugh, the reboot, which was... we'll never cover on here.
To you.
Yeah, so I don't know that I've watched... I actually won't know until I hit play. And I get about 10 minutes in and I start going, okay, yep, I've seen this movie.
You will remember.
The trailer will help too. But yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But no, like for me in college, we had October senior year. We did Nightmare on Elm Street. We did all of Halloween. We did all of Friday the 13th. And I want to say I borrowed a good chunk of movies from Nate Salati. Shout out to you, Nate. I hope you're listening.
Too tall. Always, that's what I always told him. You're too tall.
Well, his lips were too big, and he's like Baby Huey.
Got some DSLs on him, doesn't he?
No, I don't want to comment on that.
I hope he listens to this. He's just like in his office, and somebody's like, he's like, hey, listen, my friends are talking about us. And I go, he's got some DSLs, though, doesn't he? And they're like, what?
The worst. Kyle, you are uninvited from the Halloween party this weekend?
Let's be honest. No, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to cuddles.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Now, let's go ahead and fire up the trailer here. So if you've got access to it, go ahead and get onto YouTube or pull up the app and go to our channel. As we talked about last week, all the trailers are now on there for you guys to watch. So you can find Back in Time Podcast. It's going to be our latest video that's up there. Friday the 13th Part 2 trailer. I will give a 3, 2, 1 click countdown, and we're going to watch this thing together. JD, are you ready?
Locked and loaded.
Let's do it. 3, 2, 1 Amos. Click.
June night in 1980, Friday the 13th, 12 of her friends were murdered. Why should Friday the 13th, 1981, be any different? Friday the 13th, Part 2. The body count continues. 14.
JD, start us off. What did you think of the trailer here?
Okay, I'm going to be Norman negative, as okay. I tend to be. I don't think they really understood what lightning in a bottle that they had.
Okay.
And they produced this trailer, and if I'm not mistaken, it's essentially a continuation of the trailer from the original.
Okay.
Where they're just like, one, two, But that's why I love this franchise, because yeah. it grows from being Mrs. Voorhees to this movie to everything that we know and love about who Jason and Friday the 13th is. We have to go through these growing pains to get to the hockey masked killer that we love.
Okay. I agree. Do me a favor before you take that page down. Like last week, go ahead and scroll down. Take a look at my comments. Let's see if they line up with yours.
Oh, damn. I heard you took the page down. All right, give me a second. Do, 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 do. Kind of rehash the original. Yeah, not excited. Okay, so Kyle agrees with me.
Yeah.
I like this, that you give this predictive humor.
Yeah, I love it. We've matched up 2 weeks in a row here, almost verbatim. Because you're like, kind of feels like the first trailer, doesn't it? Like a continuation, and then... Yeah,
but you commented that 1 minute ago.
Yeah, well, I...
asked the question about 1 minute ago.
Now, I will say this. I watched it beforehand, and I didn't have time to write the comment. So I got it in there once the trailer started.
Okay. So,
yeah. Now, if so, facto, we're still on the same page.
Yes, so, we are.
Good prediction. Now, here's my feedback. Yeah, it did feel like a rehash of the original. I did like the countdown the first time. I didn't like the countdown as much the second time. Yeah, I don't think I've ever watched this movie. I do see a scene in there that is very resemblance of the Scream movie with the boyfriend on the porch with his back all tied up in a football jersey.
Ah,
so, yeah, well played. That's exciting. So looking forward to that scene. But yeah, I mean, I am definitely excited to watch this movie. I need to go out and buy it, which I'm going to do tomorrow afternoon on my lunch break. And I'm going to watch it, and then we're going to talk about it in about a day. I'm pumped for this. Now, let's jump into some of the box office numbers here. Friday the 13th debuted at the box office on April 30th, 1981. The film was distributed by Paramount with a runtime of just 86 minutes and a production budget of $1.2 million. We really don't have the week-by-week breakdown like we normally do because of the release date. They just weren't keeping track of stuff that well in 1981. But here is what we know. The movie went on to gross $21,722,776. And that's on that $1.2 million. So they did recoup that budget by 20, which is pretty impressive. I'm sure somebody got a nice raise there at Paramount. JD, what are your thoughts on the box office numbers there?
All things considered, I think that this movie is heading the franchise in the right direction. And mm-hmm. I think that all the success that this franchise feels in the future rests on the laurels of this movie.
Okay. That's good. I think that's good feedback. Now, I did find a couple things here. So they did do about 6 million opening weekend, which was pretty respectable, but that's really the only thing I had there. But here's what I know about 1981. This was the 35th highest grossing movie and had a lot of strong competition that year in the horror category. So released in 1981, Omen 3, The Final Conflict, The Evil Dead, The Howling, My Bloody Valentine in our archives, Happy Birthday to Me, Graduation Day, Halloween 2, and The Burning.
Oof.
Talk about some future episodes and some really great movies that year in 1981.
Dude, have you seen The Burning?
I'm not certain I've seen The Burning. Let me look it up.
It's a future episode for sure. Jason Alexander plays a young, stout, full of hair George Costanza, and Fisher Stevens is in it, so it's fantastic.
Is it weird that as soon as you said Jason Alexander, the first thought in my head was to say, so did he have hair then, JD? Oh, and then you answered that as you
were he had a full head of fantastic hair.
Oh man, I bet he misses his hair.
He wears a wig now.
Could be so worse.
Yeah, he misses his hair because he wears a piece.
I always kind of like the look that he had with just the side piece, man, just running up the sides.
So now you're thinking Shallow Hal, Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
A little waggly tail off the butt.
I like it. Yeah, it looks like that's got a great cast. We'll definitely get into that. That feels like a movie that I watched in college that I've completely forgotten about, to be honest. But kind of reading it sounds very familiar.
Nothing wrong with that.
Okay. Awesome. Well, let's get into the critic response for the film here. So we'll use Rotten Tomatoes to kind of gauge it. JD, how do you think the critics received Friday the 13th, Part 2?
Without having... I don't remember what they said for the original. I know that the original, Victor Miller, Cunningham, went through a lot of hoops to get their picture made. I don't remember what the original critics bore down on. But I don't think that they reacted as positively to the sequel as they did to the original.
Okay.
And having had personal interactions with Victor Miller, who wrote the original, it was never supposed to go beyond Friday the 13th.
Well, none of them are, for the most part. I mean, typically they kind of pour everything into the first one, then the studio goes, hey, we'll double your salary if you do this.
Good point. But the twist ending at the first of this, and that's why I think this is so original,
okay,
the twist ending is very kind of checkmate. Like, you can't redo Friday the 13th. And so I think critics responded pretty negatively.
Okay.
I want to say they did not enjoy a lot of the slasher charm and repetitiveness of it, but they appreciated the bringing in of a new killer.
Doubtful. But yeah, keep
with
going.
With that being said, doubtful. Oh my gosh, you're jading my response. I was going to say 40. I'm going to bring it back and say 36 now.
Okay. Keep going down.
32?
A little bit further.
69.
Yeah, 29.
Oh!
29%, yeah.
29? Really?
Yeah, I shouldn't jade your response, though. 40% would have been a pretty good guess. It's only a 48% audience response, which is surprising. Really? Yeah.
That low for this, like, climactic of a impactful...
And that's on 68,000 ratings, too. So it's not like it's a small sample piece here. So yeah, not a big fan of the follow-up here, apparently, on either side. Now let's hear from a couple of the critics. Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times panned the movie pretty hard. 0.5 out of 4 stars. He said, this movie is a cross between mad slasher and dead teenager genres. About 24 movies a year feature a mad killer going berserk, and they're all about as bad as this one. What do you think?
I want to know his response watching part 1, part 2, and part 3.
I can give you one. Part 3 would be ruining it for future episodes.
But my point being, you have to appreciate these movies as chapter 1, chapter 2, and then chapter 3 through fucking 11, whatever the hell they're on.
Okay. So here we go. So they had a 60% on the first movie, so critically was much better. There was no review from Roger Ebert for that movie, unfortunately. So, in fact, I don't see any that are the same between 1 and 2, unfortunately, that we can kind of compare them. But I will give you the other one that I looked at on here. So we've got Variety, which puts out the Variety paper. They were not a big fan of the movie either. They said, producer-director Steve Miner doesn't move in and out of the scenes with the flair of the original producer-director Sean Cunningham, nor is he able to create the same nauseatingly realistic murder situations. I don't know what that word even means. JD, what'd you think?
I get what he's getting at, but again, you can only judge part 2 without knowing what part 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 18 entails.
Now, one of the things we were texting about earlier in the day is the rights for this movie are kind of up in the air. So the original writer, Victor Miller, apparently by law, has the ability to reclaim the property of the movie because it's now 35 years old. I didn't know that was a law, JD. You right? Did you know about that law?
There are a lot of intricate laws that go to, like, IP property.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that they had updated the laws to, like, change franchises' ownership. And yeah, apparently it's a big thing. And Stephen King is just, like, cleaning up on this. Is he not?
It feels like he is. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I think that's part of the reason why me and you were both like, dude, where are we going to watch this movie? Like, nobody has this thing. So I'm going to call my local video store tomorrow. If not, I'm going to hit up the old disc replay. Hopefully I'm going to find a version of it, but I think that is the exact reason why it's not on Netflix, Prime, Hulu, like any of those platforms right now for anybody to watch. And tis the season for it, so kind of confusing on why we haven't been able to see it. Maybe there's a replay going on with TV. Maybe those rights were bought out. I mean, if it's owned by Paramount, maybe it's on the Paramount Network. So we need to check that out as well. But yeah, hopefully you guys listening can find a copy or already own a copy and you can watch it along and enjoy the episode this week. So we'll be back in a couple days as we'll be diving into it. In the meantime, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, IGTV, and YouTube. Follow the blog. JD's been posting quite a bit here in the last week on the blog. Backintimepod.com is where you can find that. I'm at KAutry29. JD's at UnjustJustin. But we are out of time. Time to get back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, and return back to present day. We'll talk to you guys in a few days with the full review. See ya.
Peace and slashes.